interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
Welcome back, guys, to How To 911. I'm Sammy.
I'm Erica.
And we have a special guest with us today. I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Nathan Shadwald. I work at the Loveland Police Property and Evidence Room as the evidence technician.
Okay. Cool. So what brought you to the Loveland Police Department?
So I've been working here since 2008.
Wow.
Yeah, so I came to Colorado for the mountains, like so many people. I'm from North Dakota, so it's pretty flat there.
Yeah.
And then I jumped around a couple jobs, including working in a hospital and for a private investigator and things. And then the job for community service officer came up, and I applied for it because I have a criminal justice background from school. And ended up getting that job, not really knowing 100% what the job was like.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get quite the education in the police world. And so I did the CSO job for 10 years. And then when our previous evidence technician retired,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of did a little job shadowing for a day just to check it out, because I'd never even considered working in an evidence room, and thought it was really interesting, and it was a good change of pace. And so I applied for that job, and I obviously got it, and that's about 3 years ago.
Nice. So you were just getting into the job you're in now when I was just starting.
Okay.
That's great. Full circle. Do you like your job?
I do. It's got, I like the CSO job. I also like this job, and each of them have their pros and cons. And
mm-hmm.
some of the things when you change jobs, you notice things that are benefits, and like all of a sudden, and I'm sure you talk to police officers and CSOs about this, you know, getting lunch, you know, just simple thing like that. Like, wow, I get lunch every day pretty
yeah.
much, and I get off work on time, you know,
yeah.
99% of the time. So there's these nice little changes at working indoors instead of, you know, getting frostbite or heat stroke working outside. So I've noticed those benefits of having a inside job, and I miss the being on the street and knowing what's going on a little bit more and interacting with the officers and kind of, you know, being involved in the thick of things. So I miss that stuff. And then with the current job, there's, you know, I don't have any windows in my office because
mm-hmm.
it's in a vault, basically. And
right.
so, you know, I'm like a see no daylight. So there's little things for
mm-hmm.
every job. But as a whole, it was a really good transition, and I'm still liking it.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So then what would be your favorite part of your job right now?
I think when we are able to return an item to a owner or a victim, somebody who lost their item, and then we're able to return it to them. Like, it might be something really precious, baby pictures or, documents that are, unreplaceable, that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. Or if there's a victim, once their case is done, getting them the items that they might, you know, had to be taken for evidence. It's kind of a bummer. We have to deprive people of their stuff for a little while. But then when they get it back, they're super happy. So that's been really good. Some of them are kind of bittersweet ones where you're dealing with deaths, you know, suicides
mm-hmm.
or homicides or natural deaths when the police investigate and they take the items. And so sometimes you're able to give these very personal items back to people who, you know, it's associated with a horrible event, but it's also good memories and
yeah.
you know, items of clothing or people's hats, things like that. I've returned to people from sensitive calls, and they're very thankful. And even working across the country and getting things to people in other states.
Dang. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then the other side of that would be like your least favorite part of this job.
Sure. And I think a lot of the street officers would say the same thing. It's kind of some of the gross stuff.
Mm.
You're dealing with bodily fluids and waste and things like that. And so a little stinkier stuff. You know, that's probably my least favorite. When somebody takes an item in and they don't maybe search it 100% and there's like, you know, food in there and it tends to spoil. Mm. And then all of a sudden your office environment smells a little different. And so you got to track that down.
Right.
So that's probably my least favorite part of it.
Yeah. That I'm glad that doesn't happen for us. We're not like, what's that smell? I mean, maybe with the fridges, but that's about it.
Or burnt popcorn.
Oh yeah. That too. I know that we don't really interact with you very much. At least I haven't. I work night shifts, so that's probably a good chunk of why. But what do you think dispatch does well at our jobs?
Yeah, I think I do get a fair amount of calls day shift. I'll call up to you guys or I'll get forwarded a call from someone. And the thing that's great about dispatch is they kind of have the 30,000 foot view. They see everything. You know, they've got the maps, you guys are super fast on the computers, you can find calls, you can search in ways that I have trouble searching. So I'll come in on a Monday morning, I've got all these messages, half of them are people trying to report crimes, and so I have to call them and then refer them to dispatch. Others are from, you know, they call in, they're looking for their car, or they're looking for their items, and, you know, it might be in the evidence bay being processed, the car, or the items might be in evidence. And so then I'm getting a transfer from you guys to me, and we're figuring that out. So I think what you do well is just being able to quickly and having that 30,000 foot view, figure out what's going on. And I call up to you guys and I'm like, I got this message. They're talking about a certain kind of call. I have no idea what this is about. You know,
right.
They don't usually give you cross streets or name spellings or case numbers. And so I'm able to kind of give you guys a little bit of description, and then it's like, you know, Pictionary or something, or like telephone. You're like figuring out the code, and I usually get an answer from y'all, and I'm able to figure out the case number, and then I know the story. And then when I call the person, I can actually give them an intelligent answer instead of just saying, I don't know.
Doing a little research, especially when people, I'm sure that there's some pretty vague things. It's like, I lost such and such. Is it there? And you're like, I have 60 of those such and suches.
Yeah, that's exactly the conversation I have just about every day. I've got 10 phones. I've got, you know, 10 sets of keys.
Yeah.
I've got all sorts of things. So I need a little bit better description than keys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, side note, I think that's something that maybe we can pass along for us. It's like, if somebody does call up saying like, oh, do you guys have my backpack? When we transfer down to them, maybe just say, like, leave very specific information so that they can get back to you. Anyways, derailment. But, and you can't steal what I just said. What can dispatch improve on?
Boy, with me, it's very limited. I mean, I don't really have any issues with dispatch at all. So, I mean, it's a win-win. Every time I call, you guys help. And when you guys send to me, it's usually that they need to be coming to me. So.
Yeah. When you were a CSO, did you have a lot of interactions with, well, obviously you had more interactions with dispatch being a CSO, but was there anything like while you were doing that job where you were like, man, I really wish they understood such and such better? I know it's been a couple of years.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember, so I call it kind of the CSO curse is when because you can't respond to emergent calls because you're not a police officer with the red and blues and the siren for lights and sirens. And so, but it'll always seem to be you're cruising around and that emergent call will pop up two blocks from where the CSO is. It's just kind of a crazy coincidence. Or like a DUI, you know, traffic ready, you'll pop up and you're like two blocks from that. And I don't know, I guess if I had to think of something to be, you know, suggestive of is sometimes I'd notice, because I can watch the computer a little bit more, officers, they're cruising, trying to get there, you know, dodging traffic and listening for updates. Like sometimes on traffic readies, I'd see an officer like cruise past the cross street within the notes, it would be updated like, they went north on Lincoln, and then they're going west on Eisenhower. They pass Lincoln, And then like a minute later, it's like updated. And so then they're totally lost. And so every once in a while, I'd see that from kind of a viewer and kind of thing. I'd be like, oh shoot, you know, they were so close. Like they just would have got that little update. It's tough to stay on top of that because you guys are taking phone calls, you're on multiple calls, you're adding notes, somebody else is adding notes, you know, it's crazy.
So, yeah.
I don't know. There's no way to be perfect.
Yeah, I know. It's true. But like, yeah, making sure we get stuff in a timely manner is important, especially for those in progress things.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. What do you want the public to know about Loveland and like the evidence tech position?
Sure. A good thing for people to understand about the evidence room is we're kind of a middleman, so I'm not there collecting the evidence on scene. I don't know about the call, and I'm also not the courts, and so I don't know what the courts are doing. And so we're just in the middle of all this stuff, and 99% of the time, I don't know what's going on with that piece of evidence. You know, I got little descriptions, like it was a drugs call or a homicide, but I most of the time don't know the details, and so...
Right.
When people call me and they want to know if they can get their stuff back or what the status of the case is and all that kind of thing, I most of the time have to say, I don't know, I'll have to call you back, or I'll get them who the detective is or the officer. And so that's kind of hard on my part. And it takes me a little longer to figure things out because I was not there.
Right.
And so maybe just a little patience and understanding that the evidence room isn't your best source for case information or court information. Because we're basically just holding an item until the officer needs it or the case is done, and then we get it back to people.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah.
Well, I can talk a little bit about how the evidence room works.
Yes, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Which that kind of segues into that. So a police officer or detective will show up to a call. They'll collect things that they think are evidence, and then they bring it back to the police department, and they go into our evidence packaging room, and there they have, you know, boxes, bags, plastic that they conceal and tape up the items in. So they'll, you know, bag drugs separately, and then paraphernalia, and they can put weapons in boxes. You know, if there's a firearm, they've got paper bags for just general stuff. One of the hardest things to do is, it's kind of like a reverse Amazon type thing. There, you're taking an item and you're trying to repackage it back into something so that you can store it instead of, you know, having it in its original packaging. You know, you get a bowling ball, or you get a shoe, or you get a screen door. You know, like you have to put that into some kind of packaging so that you can show that it hasn't been tampered with, or you can take it to the laboratory for analysis. So that packaging time can be kind of difficult, you know, you've never probably wrapped a single arrow before, or a bowling ball when it doesn't have a container. So the officer has to figure out how to wrap it, how to seal it, and then they enter it into our computer system, give it description, talk about where they picked it up, all that, and that prints out a report for records, and that starts the chain of custody. Then they put it into these lockers that are kind of one-way lockers, where you put the item in, you close it, and you can't open it again from that side. And then that way, like, there's no, you know, they don't have any access to it. And so they can say that at this time I put it in the locker and I had no access to it. Then I come in and I empty those lockers on my side. They're a pass-through locker on the other side. And then I scan every item in with a barcode that the officer labeled it with. And it's got the case number and item number. So I receive everything in, and then I have to kind of figure out how to store it on the shelf. So now I've got this box with an arrow in it. Where do I put that in the evidence room so that it's more efficiently stored and that we can find it and locate it quickly? So most things go in smaller envelopes because you're just dealing with like a pipe or some paraphernalia. And then drugs go in usually small envelopes, things like that. But we have giant boxes that are, you know, 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet cubes. And also we have areas for things like if you have a car tire that's evidence, you can put it on a big shelf or a computer, things like that. So once I take it in, figure out where it sits, then it can sit there for forever or for years or for weeks. Just depends how the case goes. And so an officer can request that goes to the laboratory. So Once a week, I go to the laboratory, take a bunch of items, and then I bring items back. They'll go there for fingerprints, DNA, all sorts of forensic analysis. And then once it comes back, that usually helps the case or, you know, rule something out. And then if a case goes to trial, then the officer would come and check out the evidence and take it to court. And then once the case is over, they bring it back. And so we just have to coordinate for that. And then also officers sometimes will check out evidence to analyze it. Like our detective bureau will check out a cell phone and they'll do a data dump on that and analyze things and then turn it back in. And so then they're creating more evidence with those files. So then once all that's done and court is done, then court sends me information that the case is closed. And that can sometimes be the same week it closes, or it can be weeks later, mm-hmm. months later. And then sometimes it doesn't even tell us that the case is closed. So we have to have timers on every case that say, like, in 3 years, you need to check on this case because that's when the statute of limitations is up. And then the officer checks on that case. This kind of, I mean, this is kind of filing and boring stuff. But eventually those items come up for return, destruction, or it can be adopted by the police department. Very few things are done that way, maybe one item a year. So like a television gets abandoned and then we go to a judge and we say, hey, can we use this for this conference room? And then they would ask for that. Most items we send to auction if nobody claims them, but we definitely try to return everything to the owners, you know. Like with that TV, you send them letters, you call them, all stuff, and if they just abandon it and never pick it up, then we talk to the court about getting that. A lot of items, I've got good success in returning it to people, even years later, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of resources to search for people and kind of track them down. But, you know, a good tip for the public is to update your IDs, update your phone numbers, addresses, that kind of thing. Because if I am trying to get you back, you know, sometimes it's literal money, like $800 cash. I'm trying to get back to someone. And if I can't find them, you know, then they don't get their stuff back. So it pays to be updated. And then also you got to monitor your own case. Like if you're a victim or a suspect, understanding when it closes, you know, and then giving us a call, kind of advocating for yourself is very helpful. It's kind of back into the life of evidence. So a court can order, it always orders drugs destroyed, you know, illegal drugs. If a gun was used in a crime, they can order that destroyed, or it can be returned depending on how severe the crime is. And then once all the items are done, then that's it for that case. And mm-hmm. So it's quite the process.
Can I ask where this mythical laboratory is? Send it up to the lab.
Sure.
The lab.
Yeah, it's not like the Bat Cave or whatever. So it's over on the west side of Greeley. It's a regional forensic lab.
Okay.
And it's kind of off of 34. And so they've got, Weld County just built their evidence storage facility, brand new, which is an amazing facility right next to it. So, yeah. So it's about a 23-minute drive or so. Not that I've timed it.
23 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right. The market's at it, go.
At 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
No, that's fun.
And sorry, I also, so wrapping an arrow, a single arrow, is a box. You use a box.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. We've got like a rifle box. Would be a good one. You kind of zip tie it to the box so it's not sliding around.
Okay.
Especially if it has a broadhead or whatnot, and then you take the box there. You could, if it didn't have a sharp point, you can put it in plastic and seal it.
Okay.
Or even put some like cardboard over the tip if you didn't need to analyze that for like DNA or trace evidence.
Hmm. Thank
you. Yeah.
You mentioned a door.
Yeah. We had half of a door that got kicked through, and the officer collected that, I think, for maybe like shoe print or, you know, fingerprint, trying to lift those. We also had a screen from a burglary. So a big, you know, probably 3-foot by 4-foot or 3-by-5-foot window screen. Somebody took off the window to burglarize a house, and so they had to touch it. So you wrap that, and then you can send that to the laboratory, and they can dust for fingerprints. But an officer can also dust fingerprints on scene if they want, but if they're not confident in their ability, or if it's a weird one, like it's a black surface, so then you need white powder instead of black powder, and if they don't have the white powder, so it just depends on what the officer feels they can do.
Gotcha. That sounds tricky.
Yeah.
I can just see them putting a door on the top of their car.
Yeah.
Hold on to it. Obviously, they wouldn't do that because it would defeat the whole preservation of evidence, but
yeah.
Just be kind of funny.
That's when you call for the CSO with the bigger vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh yeah, back in those days. What else do you got for us?
What about the auction?
Sure, auctions. I get calls a lot saying, hey, do you guys have auctions for the public? Because there's kind of this, and I think I went to one when I was in high school where there's a police auction and people like walk up to this yard and they bid on stuff. And that is kind of going away because of the internet and things like that. So what the Loveland Police Department does is they work with a website and a company called propertyroom.com. And you can go check it out right now. And basically, they once a month, they'll send a semi-truck to the Loveland PD. And we give them, you know, we might give them 10 bicycles that are unclaimed and no owners. Might give them a bunch of tools and any weird items that we have that we can't use or find the owners. And then they will stop by 20 police departments on that route and just fill the semi-truck up. And then they take it back to either California or I think Georgia is where their other facility is. And then they have people take photos and put it online. And it's an auction type online bidding system, kind of like eBay. And so you can go on there and bid for stuff. But we don't have like a local auction that we do.
Yeah. I told my husband about the Auction Room website. He's addicted to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he loves collecting coins. So I just hit his Achilles with this website. He's constantly on it, like, oh, do I need this coin? Like, oh, no. I should have never done it.
There's a lot of coins.
There's a lot of coins.
Yeah. And a lot of times they don't even know what they have.
No.
So if you know coins pretty well, you can maybe get a good deal. But if there's another person who knows coins, then they're going to bid you up. So
yeah.
That's a tough one. One thing that we do have where you can get something in Loveland if you find it is we call it finders. So if you found a bicycle in your front yard and it was abandoned there, you turn it into the police and then you would write a little note that just says, hey, I, John Doe, would like this bicycle if no one claims it after 30 days, and you sign it and, you know, put your phone number on there. And I get that letter. It's got to be within 10 days of it being turned in. And then I just did this literally today. I called up a lady and said, hey, your gift card that you found when you were out walking, no one ever came and picked it up, so you can come pick it up. And she came down here about 45 minutes ago and picked up the gift card. It was like a $40 Best Buy gift card.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so it's early holidays for her. You know, when you do the right thing, you turn it in so somebody can have a chance to find it. Mm-hmm. And if nobody contacts us for it, then you can get that. Now, there's certain items that we can't do. You know, if you people's personal information, documents, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody has a purse, we're not going to give you their ID and Social Security card. Also, electronics where there could be personal info on there, you know, cameras and phones mm-hmm. and computers. We don't want to, like, help you steal someone's identity
right.
by giving away that personal stuff. And then firearms as well. We don't give those to people. So those are some things that we don't do. And then obviously like illegal items we don't do. Some examples of bicycles are very common. An electric scooter, mm-hmm. I gave that back to the finder the other day. And a crisp $100 bill was mm-hmm. turned in.
Nice.
And I gave that to a lady a while back.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So, it's to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And also call about your stuff. If mm-hmm. for some reason, probably half the population doesn't think about calling the police department mm-hmm. when they're missing an item. And so we get a lot of phones in that are locked, or keys and money and wallets. And if I can't find the person, then eventually it's going to be given away or destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so just definitely give the police department a call and see if your stuff's been turned in.
Right. Cool. I heard that you help with dogs. Is that true?
A little bit. So our canine unit, which I worked, I helped with training with the dogs back when I was a CSO. I was an agitator for a while. And the dogs, we have dual purpose dogs that apprehend people and they also find drugs. And so anytime we have narcotics, illegal drugs taken for a case, at the end of the case, we can ask the court if we can use that drug for training purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get maybe a pound of methamphetamine or, a couple baggies of cocaine, whatever it is. When I see a good quantity and a fairly new case, I'll put a note on that that says, hey, the canine unit might want this. And so about once a year, we kind of look at that, and the canine unit sergeant will meet with me and we kind of look at the items and see what they want. And then we put in a request to the court to see if we can use it for training purposes and they grant it or not. And then I get those items to the canine unit and they get to use them for training.
Nice. That must be fun.
Yeah, it's nice working with the canine guys. Their dogs are amazing. Their noses can find just about anything.
So crazy, right? I don't understand, but I'm not a dog.
Have you interviewed a canine person?
Yeah, we did Colburn and Gowdy.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so it's amazing.
Yeah, I think we learned a lot that episode because I just thought they were cute little doggos, but no, obviously not.
Yeah.
They're definitely more than just cute little doggos. Oh, man. But yeah, what else you got?
Well, not super glamorous, and the public doesn't really see it very often because it's a secured area where I work. But we did upgrade our storage capacity and our system. So people, I don't know if people go to libraries anymore, but if
yay,
that you might have seen those moving shelves where you turn the crank, and those are called high capacity storage, and those are just ones that are manually cranked and moved. We got massive ones that can hold so much weight, and they're electronic or mechanical. So you push a button and it rolls the shelf for you, which is a huge time saver and energy saver. And it turns an area that might only hold, 7-8 shelves, because you have to have a row next to each of them. When you just take it and only make it where there's one row and that row moves, then you can, double, triple, sure what the exact number is, your storage capacity. And so we did that in our vault and our general storage, and that freed up so much room. We were basically full a couple of years ago. We were bursting at the seams with evidence and items. And by getting that storage system, it increased our capacity immensely, and we don't have to, stack stuff up to the ceiling, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Anything else you have for us?
I think maybe some tips for the public, because so many times we'll get very generic items. Just having a good photo of all your items, I would say take, and this is kind of from my CSO days as well, when people would have their stuff stolen or lose things, they wouldn't have a photo, they wouldn't have the serial number, they would just kind of have a vague description, like a black bike, might not even know the brand. And it's really hard to find that. But if you just take a weekend, like an hour during the weekend, and take your smartphone or your digital camera or whatever, and just go to your TV, take a picture of it, then take a picture of the serial number, do that with your Xbox, your bicycles, your snowmobile, like anything with a serial number and has value, guns, even your phones, getting that serial number, on the back written down somewhere, and a good description of it can really help us identify what's yours and find it. And there's programs like Leads Online where we can put in descriptions of items and it checks every pawn shop for that item. But if we don't have a good description or the serial number, the chances of finding it go way down. So definitely take that time. And for insurance as well, you can email them to yourself or keep them in a thumb drive and a safe. And then that way, if, you know, heaven forbid something gets stolen or damaged or lost, you actually have that information versus, I'd say, 90% of the people out there when they call us, they don't have the good information in order to find their items.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I think
definitely
we encounter that a lot ourselves too with people reporting those items that you mentioned, like, I don't have a bike anymore. And it's like, what kind of bike is it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. And then it's good to remember that not in order to get your stuff back, but there's a much higher likeliness for you to get your stuff back if you have that information saved.
Absolutely. We've had bicycles turn up in Texas or Utah
mm-hmm.
because we were able to put that serial number into the system. We've also just been able to return local ones that were stolen. So bikes are probably one of the most likely to get returned if you have the serial number. And then also, if you don't have the serial number, it's very low chance of getting it returned.
Right. Okay. I don't have any more questions. Do you have anything else for us, Nate?
I think that's it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You guys know the drill. You can check us out on Instagram at How2911Podcast. Email us with any questions that you have for Erica and I, or even for Nate, with evidence or property that he might have knowledge over. If it's an in-progress, like, case that is working, don't email us. Just call the police department and go through that way. But if you have questions about what we talked about today, just email us at how2911podcast@cityofloveland.org. And then Facebook, Loveland Emergency Communication Center. I think that's it. If not, we've got a lot of episodes. You guys can scan that out. Until then, know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened.